In Jesus' name, we will yet examine God's Word, here with that prayer that God would continue to bless His Word. I thought to read for a text from the 11th chapter of Hebrews, and we'll read through the 13th verse, and the words are, in Jesus' name, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his testimony he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen, as yet moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." Amen. This letter that the writer writes to these Hebrew believers, this is a familiar portion to us, that he writes about how it is faith that saves. And the writer reminds us of those saints of the Old Testament and how they journeyed in their lives through faith. And they died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. I would ask you, dear brother and sister here this afternoon, that does this sound familiar to you? I'm sure the elders here would acknowledge that this is certainly how it is, that we go through this life, we have been given this treasure of living faith in earthen vessels, and we feel the weight of the journey. We have been reminded so many times already this weekend how sin so easily besets us on this way, and how it is that we must endeavor to put sin away to keep faith and good conscience, so that one day when we take our last breath in this life, that we could go there to eternity to be with our Creator. I've heard it said that these Hebrew believers, they had begun to maybe belittle or despise God's Word, or the gatherings of the believers. In this letter somewhere, the writer says, exhorting one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. We have Now before us a precious time of visitation. We have lived a long time of visitation since the last heresy. And I remember, I think it was an old speaker brother, Veino Havas, had said of the same matter in Finland, that God had preserved that seed of faith for so many years. And he had thought in this way, that wasn't it because the believers esteemed the Word of God and held the Word of God as close and centermost in their lives. It is good that we have even been given that grace to gather here today, this weekend, before God's Word. I would say, if you're anything like me, perhaps you came to these services feeling your coldness and your poorness. Even perhaps feeling committed sins that have weighed on your heart and conscience. It has been good to be here. I have personally felt the goodness of God and been assured that this is His congregation. These you gathered here are His children that will help me in my life of faith. And in this way it has helped even to serve, to be free to serve you with my personal confession of faith. These examples of faith that the writer gives us, he prefaces this with a definition of faith. He says, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In our day, one of the things that we battle against, and we must battle against, is our carnal mind and reasoning. Have you ever had questions? What about this or what about that? Why this and why that? Why do the believers teach this way about such and such? These questions come from our sin-corrupt flesh and blood. We heard already from our dear brother just moments ago of how we only but need to trust in the Heavenly Father. And I had thought to read that familiar place in Proverbs where we are reminded to trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Faith, we could say, faith and reason are two different things. God has given us our mind, our reason, so that we could do that in society that we need to do, that we could raise our families, make a living, and so on. There's nothing wrong with this. But when it comes to matters of salvation, we are only saved by faith. We are not saved by our understanding, by our reason. And many times our minds can begin to battle against the simplicity of faith and the message that God's Word teaches, that only believe in the merit work of Christ Jesus. It is so that there are questions that we don't have answers to. There are questions that we don't need answers to. For it is not an understanding that saves, but rather it is faith. Through faith, we could say our understanding is this, that we understand and believe that our Lord Jesus Christ has suffered and died on the cross for you and for me and atoned for our sins so that we could freely and so simply believe. It tells us here that it was through faith that we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. I often remember my dear father relating to this portion of Scripture. And if many of you here know my dear father, he was very, we could say, intellectual, I guess. And He used to sometimes tell me that, you know, that God made the classical laws of physics. God created the world with His Word. God is the Lord, even of those laws He created. Gravity, for example. So when we go even to the colleges and the universities and we are faced even with the messages and those thoughts of the philosophers of this world, it is good that we could even be cautioned. The Apostle Paul even had to remind those of his time to beware of the deceit and the philosophy of the wisdom of the Greeks that could so quickly lead one astray, because matters of faith are not something that can be comprehended or understood with our carnal mind and reasoning. And in fact, the Apostle Paul said that God has chosen the base things of this world and the foolish things to confound the wise. And so it is that when the wise, the intellectuals, the philosophers of this world would look at this portion of Scripture and would see that through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, they do not have faith. We believe this through faith. And so it was that these travelers of the Old Testament traveled by and through faith. For it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." And then it goes on and it gives these examples. Perhaps we don't have time today to go through all these, but there are many. And the first one here is that example of Abel. It says, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain." We remember Abel. He took of that sheep of his flock and he placed it there on the altar. The heart of Abel was one of faith. And even here we see a picture of that sacrifice of our Lord Jesus, that many years hence, our Lord Jesus would be that unblemished lamb that would be offered there on Calvary for you and for me. To the contrary, it tells us of Cain and his sacrifice, which God was not happy. And we heard about that the other evening. But then it goes on and it gives this example of Enoch, that he was translated, that he should not see death. Enoch was one of those Old Testament travelers. And I certainly don't understand this portion of Scripture. It says that Enoch, God loved him, so God took him. He was translated, it says. I don't understand exactly what the Bible teaches in this regard. Perhaps some do, but I think what matters here is that before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And this is really all that matters, that we would have that testimony, that we would please the Heavenly Father. Have you felt that you have had strong faith? We also heard this weekend of that example of that flickering candle. And we have such a good Heavenly Father that God's Word tells us that God will not quench that flickering candle. Smoking flax will He not quench. That's what Jesus has taught. And so it is good that we can come to the hearing of God's Word, to hear and to yet be encouraged and uplifted on this way, that our cold and tired hearts can be warmed by the Word of God, that we can be reminded of God's promises and assured that we are His children, and that our journey yet goes heavenward. It was also so for Noah, that God warned him. And it tells us that he moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Noah, we remember, preached for over 100 years. And I'm sure during that time he was scorned and mocked. And there were many that perhaps said, "You're crazy." Have we heard similar in our lives? Many of those on the outside of this kingdom look at this kingdom and see as if a tarred ark, a group of sinful people. And so we are, but we are pardoned sinners, pardoned by and through the blood of Jesus. And those on the outside often see a simple group of people and would wonder that, is there salvation found in such a place? But even here we see that this is according to Scripture. Luther says that God's kingdom is made up mostly of fools, fishermen, and babes. And so it is that the Apostle Paul even says in his letter to the Corinthians that there are few rich or noble that can find God's kingdom. But God has revealed it unto us. And then it also tells of that familiar example of Abraham. And when we remember Abraham, he lived in that area there in the southeast, Ur of the Chaldeans. And it doesn't tell much about Abraham, but it does tell us that God called him. And he left his home, his country, probably many people he knew and family. And God called him to go to another country. And it tells us that Abraham was obedient. It says, "By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in the tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." We also have been called. We have been called to follow the Lord Jesus and His people. We know our destination one day is heaven. We cannot see that destination with our natural eyes. We cannot understand God's ways and why He has called us. But we can give thanks that God, through His great mercy, has seen you and I as being acceptable in His sight through His Son, Jesus. We have a precious lot when we can own the name of a child of God. And we know that we look for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Oftentimes we, by our nature, we can begin to lose sight of the goal, of the destination, of heaven. And what causes this? Haven't we already learned this weekend that it is sin that so easily besets us? That sin is, as one speaker brother likes to put it sometimes, it is like fog that obscures the way. I've thought how this is such an apt picture of how it is that sin causes us to begin to have dimness of sight, and we lose sight of that goal that God has promised for those who die in faith. Sin collects on our heart and conscience. The doubts come. And perhaps it is at these times then that we begin to struggle with matters and to question, did God really say? It was no different for the first human pair. Already from the beginning, the enemy of souls there in the Garden of Eden came to Eve and he said, did God really say? The enemy of souls even today places those same seeds of doubt before a child of God. Did God really say? Should I really believe that which I hear from God's kingdom? Is this really sin or is that really sin? Or maybe I can decide for myself. God's Word exhorts each of us to be honest with ourselves and to preach that which God's Word reveals to us. We live in perilous times. We remember how Lot lived there in Sodom and Gomorrah, and we already heard about that place, those cities, and how wicked and sinful those cities were. Peter later writes how Lot was vexed with the conversation of the unrighteous, the filthy conversation of the unrighteous. Oh, how many times the message of this world can come before us in so many ways. We live in such a time when the world can be placed before our very eyes with a few clicks of our handheld devices of our computers. Sin can then come and can cause sorrow. Isn't it a precious matter then when we can make haste to go and put those sins away? We have a mercy seat here in God's kingdom. We have a mercy seat in our homes. May it be that we would use that gospel, preach that gospel to our children. Children, preach that gospel to your parents. You, dear young, preach it to one another and care for one another. Offer that gospel to each other. I can remember a time when I was a young man and I had been troubled by sin. And it felt like the enemy of souls had my tongue. My dear father noticed I was troubled. And he came and offered that gospel. May we also do this to each other. What matters not is that we would have a beautiful confession, or even any confession at all. We confess with our heart. What matters is that we believe that message of the gospel when it is preached unto us. We have this precious reminder here of this old woman Sarah also, who it says received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. In God's kingdom, as we have already talked, we accept those children into our lives. And even here, I have sometimes thought of the mothers who even are approaching that time in their life when childbirth can be difficult. And even here we approach these matters in prayer and humility and would ask God to help us and to give strength. Here we see an example from Scripture how Sarah received strength to conceive and to bear that child when she was 90 years old. How was it that she received strength? Was it of her own power? It tells us that it was through faith. This faith is such a powerful thing. It carried all of those Old Testament travelers across that last enemy that is death. And there they received that crown of victory. I had thought of that example of the picture of the nation of Israel traveling there in the desert, and they came to that Red Sea. That very familiar picture. And there that Red Sea was before them, and the enemy was behind them, and they became fearful. What will we do now? I'm sure were their thoughts. Has it ever been in your life that there was such a trial, a difficulty before you, that it felt impossible to go forward? It is at these times that one has to resort to faith. We remember what happened. That Moses placed his staff across that body of water, and God opened that way. God also opens a way for His children. He has opened a way for us, even this weekend, to be at these services, to be reminded that we have a precious lot when we can own the name of a child of God and own hope of eternal life in heaven one day. It has been good to be here in your midst. And as I prepare to leave shortly to travel to Brainerd to visit my dear father, I would ask that you would yet remember me and my family in your prayers. And in departing, would yet wish to preach that gospel to each and every one of you here, that as you find yourself this weekend, sin fallen, sin corrupt and doubting, that you can at this moment uplift your hearts to believe all sins and shortcomings forgiven in the name and in the atonement blood of Jesus. And I also need to hear that gospel from you, that can I yet have my sins forgiven? I promise to believe with you. In Jesus' name, amen.